It's the Big Balls Football Show on 92.9 Kick FM. You got the Coltrane Cole Schapansky here. D-Stew Dustin Stewart working the board tonight. And
this is going to be an experience.
And Ryan, the quarterback, hold this here with me as always. Let's get right to it. Big week in the offseason in the NFL as scouting combine's going on right now. You got free agency set to start on March 5th. A lot of things coming up. Let's get right to the combine. Running backs and receivers ran over the weekend. You had D linemen and linebackers working out today. We had some very, very fast 40 times. Let's start with those. A couple guys who were expected to have fast times were Clemson wide receiver Jacoby Ford and California running back Javid Best. Both guys are track stars. So Best ran a 4.33 in the 40. Jacoby Ford tied a record for wide receivers at 4.28, which actually, I mean, 4.28, people would be ecstatic with that. But me and D-Stew were talking about it a little bit earlier today that 4.28 for Jacoby Ford was actually a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, everyone expected that he was going to run faster than 4.28, but it's still a pretty good time, and it'd be a nice fit for the Oakland Raiders.
Well, when you have a guy who people are talking about him and saying that there's a possibility that he could run sub 4.2, like we've never seen anybody run sub 4.2, and that's kind of a territory where people don't usually say that, just because of the fact that it's never happened, and for somebody to do it, they have to be a hell of an athlete. So a little bit disappointing because I thought he would run a little bit better. But like you and me were saying today, Cole, we wait till, you know, for all these guys, you wait till their pro day until they're really running on a track they're used to.
Exactly. I mean, that I was thinking that Javid Best would run better than 4.33 because he runs a sub-10 100-yard dash. He's an NCAA champion in the 100-yard dash. So I was expecting a little bit better from him, but at the same time, you look at game film on Best, on Jacoby Ford, on guys like Dexter McCluster, who didn't run a very fast 40 time. These guys are just, they're creating separation with ease against the competition. So, I mean, 40-yard dash time, do you think it's a little overrated?
Yeah, because game and 40-yard dash are two different things. It's game speed is one thing, and 40-yard dash is something completely different. It's no game anticipation to it at all, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Like, how often do you guys actually run 40 yards?
Yeah.
You know, offensive linemen.
How often do I run?
Yeah, well.
Not often.
But yeah, like,
you know,
offensive linemen, they never run 40 yards. And that's why, really, when you watch an O-lineman do the 40-yard dash, you're looking to see what his split times are at about the 10-yard, you know, about the 10-yard mark and the 20. And even for receivers, it's the same way. With receivers and running backs, you're looking for the explosion to see how fast they get off the line. So
I was really impressed with some of those big backs in the combine.
They did well.
Yeah. Like, this is going to be a big draft here for running backs. You're going to be ready to step in right away, I think. Like, this class of running backs is
going to
be ready soon.
One of my favorite guys, Toby Gerhardt, who they're talking about being a fullback, ran in the mid 4.5. So
yeah,
that's
ridiculous.
He
was like 4.53 or something
so
like that.
I mean, I think he really helped himself
you
out there.
Who disappointed me a little bit, though, was Dexter McCluster. I thought he was quicker than 4.58.
Hey, me and Cole were talking about it and saying, like, the guy, we've seen him play games, and he runs away from people.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where game speed versus, you know, the straight line 40 speed, it changes things.
And, I mean, C.J. Spiller, another guy with speed, also ran 4.28. So, I mean, lots of speed in this year's draft. So,
well, one of the big things I was just noticing this today is the linebackers.
Yeah.
Like, they have linebackers out there running sub 4.6.
Yeah. There's some fast guys. There's 9 linebackers in total that ran sub 4.7. So, I mean, that tells, and I mean, you look at the strength of these guys too. I mean, you asked me, there's no better athletes in the NFL than linebackers. I mean, you look at guys like Sean Witherspoon from Missouri. He put up 34 reps at 225 pounds on the bench press. That's ridiculous for a linebacker. Sure, he weighs 240 pounds, but I mean, that's a lot of weight to push up.
Yeah.
The DBs apparently tore that up today, too.
Did they?
Earl Thomas apparently put it up 225 24 times.
Wow.
You know who I was surprised to see doing the bench press who I thought wouldn't? Stephon Johnson from
USC. Yeah, they made a big thing about that when he was lifting.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, he had such a...
That injury, that freak accident.
Yeah, freak accident in the weight room at USC. But
do you know how many he put up?
13.
Yeah, something like that. So he did all right.
Yeah. That's okay, I guess.
Wow.
Well, you know.
Didn't the guy almost have his windpipe crushed by the bar when he was doing
his windpipe crushed?
Yeah, like.
Yeah, but So, I mean, getting back to the 40 times, I'm just looking at this right here. The best times for running backs, you got C.J. Spiller, and then you have Javid Best at 4.35. Then you have Ben Tate from Auburn, who ran a 4.43. Yeah. Ryan Matthews, who's a fringe first-round, second-round guy, ran a 4.45, helped himself out a lot there. Montario Hardesty, who has been the star of the running back class at the Combine, he ran a 4.49. And Joe McKnight from USC, the other USC back at the Combine, ran a 4.47. So, I mean, who do you think helped themselves out the most out of the running back receiver group that that ran and lifted this weekend?
I don't know. Do you want to go with that first? Or?
I think a guy that did help himself was, you know, our boy Golden Tate from Notre Dame. He ran a decent time. He ran, I think, about a 4.5, which, you know, is good for a guy like him because people were a little worried that he'd come in there and just, like, drop just a horrible time in the 40, and he did pretty well. And another guy, too, in terms of running backs is more just his, you know, getting out there and performing well at the Combine was Javid Best, a guy who people were a little bit concerned about. Like, you know, we talked months ago now about that injury that he had. And he went out there and proved that he's back to full health. And he's a guy who, after running a 4.3, could really do well and somebody could take a shot at maybe at the end of the first round.
Running backs-wise, I think Toby Gerhard did a great job on improving his draft stock. Like, I don't think anyone expected him to be as quick as he was, but
I didn't.
Yeah, like I was really shocked too when I saw what he ran, and I think he improved his draft stock a lot.
I think Ryan Matthews helped himself out the most. He's a guy who he didn't get a ton of carries at Fresno State, but he's a freak.
Did he not? Was he? He led the nation in rushing, didn't he?
Ryan Matthews.
Yeah.
Over this last year, he was one of the top five. But before that, I mean, he wasn't really a star. He's kind of a one-year guy. But, I mean, there's lots of guys that help themselves. One guy who did help himself out a little bit earlier in the week was, it's debatable, but Tim Tebow, he's had a solid combine. He had a great broad jump. He ran a 4.72 40, which is, for quarterbacks, it was, I think, the second or third fastest time for quarterbacks. Dan LeFevre from Central Michigan ran the fastest time. But Tim Tebow, he decided not to throw, as he's very publicly, he's been changing his throwing mechanics to try to get himself more NFL ready. Do you think that Tim Tebow going there and running the 4.7 40 and having the good bench press, all that stuff, do you think that he helped himself, or do you think it's all kind of, it doesn't matter?
Yeah,
until
I think
he throws.
It's pretty irrelevant right now because everyone wants to see this guy throw and what he can do. If he's changing his motion at all, he's making some adjustments to the way his throwing motion is. I think he's got to get on the field and start throwing the football, in my opinion, because doing the bench press and running the 40 is not going to help your draft stock at all.
No, yeah, I don't think. He did all right. Like, the one thing that did help him, I guess, a little bit is that he put up one of the fastest times by a quarterback in the three-cone shuttle. So that's a good thing. But, yeah, the fact that he's not throwing doesn't help because people are so worried about that. And, Peter King was writing an SI today that people are just getting sick of Tim Tebow because we know that he's not going to be a star in the NFL when he gets there right away.
We don't know that.
When he gets there, he's not going to be a star in the NFL.
I think he might be.
Well, maybe in 4 years, but he would need at least another couple of years to become a good player in the NFL.
I think we're going to be talking about Dan LeFevre before we're talking about Tim Tebow.
I think we're going to be talking about both guys. Let's talk about Dan LeFevre, a guy who, I mean, only a couple quarterbacks in NCAA history have put up better numbers than him, one of them being Tim Tebow. But, I mean, this is a guy, he's thrown for over 12,000 yards, rushed for over 3,000 yards in his career, and won football games. I mean, he won the MAC title twice for Central Michigan in his 4 years there, started, I think, 54 games for them. So my question is, I mean, there's lots of questions at the quarterback position in the draft with Sam Bradford coming back from a shoulder injury, Jimmy Clausen coming back from an ankle injury, Colt McCoy also with a shoulder. You got Tebow trying to transition to the NFL. But then there's Dan LeFevre, a guy who also ran a spread option offense, but it's a guy who, from all accounts, he's one of the smarter guys in the draft, has all the intangibles, he's a winner, and he has all the experience that you could possibly get in the NCAA. Is Dan LeFevre not the most NFL-ready quarterback in this class?
You know, I would say yes, but the thing is, how good of you can't measure the talent he played against in college. He played at Central Michigan. He wasn't playing in the SEC. He was playing against weaker talent. So I think that he might be the most he might have the most skills to be ready for the NFL, but caliber wise, I'm not sold on him yet for that reason. So
he's a guy, like, you know, if I'm not going to get Jimmy Clausen or Sam Bradford, and frankly I don't really like Sam Bradford.
Me neither.
If I'm not going to get Jimmy Clausen, he's like, Dan LeFevre is probably the quarterback that I would want next out of all the guys in this draft. I'm not a huge Colt McCoy fan. Obviously, I don't want Tim Tebow. And people have fallen in love with some of these guys from the smaller schools, like we saw with Baltimore and Joe Flacco a couple of years from Delaware. He showed up at the Combine, had a really good Combine. And also the Senior Bowl. Senior Bowl is more what I meant there.
And let me ask you one thing, just cutting you off here, DC. Yeah. What were they saying about Joe Flacco going into the draft? Were they not saying that this guy, he played at Delaware and he's not NFL ready?
Yeah.
And then was he not a candidate for Rookie of the Year?
He was.
Now, what did you just say about Tim Tebow?
Yeah, no, but, okay, here, let me, as I stumble over my words, I'm not doing this because I'm nervous. It's because I'm so overextended with this board hopping. They did say that about Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco doesn't have any of the flaws in his passing game that Tim Tebow has. And the NFL's a passing league now. Look at the two teams in the Super Bowl, the two of the best passing offenses in the league. Granted, the Jets did get there with a really good rushing attack, but...
And Mark Sanchez,
yeah, which is just awful. But no, I think Flacco was more polished as a quarterback than Tebow is going to be, even after his second year in the NFL. So I think, Flacco was a better player. But getting back to my point, I would definitely take LeFevre as probably my number two quarterback, because I don't like any of the other guys, except for Tony Pike, but he has some arm concerns.
Yeah, and some weight concerns.
Yeah, that's true, eh?
The guy's a string bean, like Ryan used to be, but not anymore. All right, we're going to go to a quick commercial break.
Sweet.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the free agency period that's going to be starting up in just 4 days' time, which I'm sure we're all excited about. I don't know about you guys out there. And then later on, we're going to continue with our breakdown of division by division, team by team, as we talk about the AFC South and their offseason when we come back on the Big Balls Football Show on 92.9 Kick FM.
The Great Canadian Talk Show is brought to you by Atlantic Pizza. Atlantic Pizza is the tastiest takeout in all of Southeast Winnipeg. Call 257-2443 or drop by the store at 414 Westmount Drive and make sure to tell them you listen to Kick FM. That's Atlantic Pizza, 257-2443.
Hi, I'm Becky. Okay, so spring break is like totally about boys and bikinis and my tan. OMG.
Becky, I think you're missing the point.
At Gord Ski and Bike, spring break is all about getting outside and enjoying the best skiing and riding of the year. Grab the kids and head to Gord's for huge spring break savings. All outerwear in the store is 30 to 60% off. Save 50% on items like the North Face.
Wait, seriously? 50% off the North Face at Gord's?
Yes, sir. You've got till Sunday to get in and save. For the details, visit Gord's.com.
Jim had giant aspirations, but as a grain of barley in the field, his brothers and sisters kept him down. "You'll just be hog feed," they shouted. Still, Jim grew on. One day, a man named David Rudge handpicked Jim to join him at the Half Pints Brewery. It was there that Jim's true potential was released. It wasn't easy. Jim was ground and boiled. Weeks later, a whole new Jim was hand-poured into a bottle for people like you to enjoy. And that's the story of Jim, the little grain of barley with big dreams. Half Pints Brewing Company. Think local, drink local.
In Winnipeg, we don't have mountains, but we have wind. Wind that will pick you up and throw you across a frozen lake. Wind that will get your heart racing and your adrenaline pumping. Wind that will help cure cancer.
On March 6th, come on down to Oak Hammock Marsh for kiteboarding for cancer. Come compete and you can win over $1,000 in prizes. Or just come for sleigh rides, kiteboarding lessons, and to watch the excitement. Sponsored by Boost Kiteboarding, Tarutinsky Nissan, and Falcon Machinery. For more info or to donate to the Canadian Cancer Society, go to kb4c.ca.
And we're back on the Big Balls Football Show. D2, you're struggling a little bit.
I had a song all queued up, but I turned the auto off already. Don't worry, you guys will get it for the next one.
It's okay.
It is a fantastic little ditty.
It's okay, my friend. I think everybody remembers when I tried board hopping.
That was a good time, actually.
It was a lot worse than this. So, you know, we're going to get back to talking. First thing I want to talk about, of course, is my Detroit Lions, as I'm sporting my Detroit Lions shirt today. Big news in the NFL this week, as Antonio Cromartie still on the trading block with the San Diego Chargers, a guy who's made the Pro Bowl twice. And the big news is that the Detroit Lions seem to be close to acquiring him for what looks to be a fourth-round pick or worse, maybe one of the two fifth-round picks that the Detroit Lions have. So, I mean, a fifth-round pick is what it's really rumored to be for a guy who's gone to two Pro Bowls, but last year kind of got in the doghouse a little bit there with Norv Turner, one of the worst coaches in the NFL. Just had to slide that one in there. So my question is, I mean, why isn't anybody willing to give up anything more than a fifth-rounder for Antonio Cromartie?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me, because the guy was one of the best DBs in the NFL. And, like, as far as it goes, like, how many picks did he have? Did he have 10 picks that year in San Diego?
Yeah,
and he's had a bit of a tough time in the last couple of years. He battled injury 2 years ago for the entire year. A little bit of a tougher time this year, but the guy is undeniably a crazy athlete at corner. So, a fifth-round pick, like, that's just ridiculous. People will be giving up more than that, would have given up almost more than that to get LT at some points last year. So it doesn't make sense to me, but apparently there's rumor that the reason they're willing to give up Cromartie for a fifth-round pick, but also Maurice Morris.
Take him.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's
we'll
kind of
give you
I'm
Maurice
saying.
Morris. We'll pay you to take Maurice Morris from us, San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, no, it's just I'm not sure what they're doing with Cromartie, because he's...
I mean, if the Lions get Cromartie for a fifth-rounder, just think about it. They will have traded Roy Williams for a first, third, and sixth.
Yeah.
And then they would have turned around and given up a fifth for Cromartie. And then there's a lot of talk about all the free agents. We're going to get into all of them right away.
Yeah.
But a few of the guys, I mean, the Lions are rumored to almost certainly get one of the big-name running backs that are out there, whether it be Thomas Jones, LaDainian Tomlinson, Brian Westbrook, or Chester Taylor. And then they're also rumored to get maybe Kyle VandenBosch from the Titans, another Pro Bowler, who he of course played under Jim Schwartz there, who was the defensive coordinator for Tennessee. There's rumors that he could come over. There's rumors that Keith Bullock could come over to the Lions. I mean, there's lots and lots of rumors of lots of guys flying over to Detroit. So, an exciting time for me.
And it would be the happiest day of Cole's life.
Yeah. I had to talk about the Lions first of all.
I just want to say that I just flipped onto one of my more trusted NFL news sites, and it. Top story, like headline right up here. Report, Cromartie to Lions, highly unlikely.
What?
Reported by Lions beat writer Tom Kowalski.
Oh, no. From MLive.com, Tom Kowalski. A good guy, but let's hope that Tom Kowalski's wrong. So let's get on to some of the other guys that are rumored to be traded, actually. Let's get to that before we get to the free agents. One guy who's been in the news for what seems like forever, Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
Maybe traded this offseason, but maybe not. I mean, there's a huge list of teams that have interest.
Jump at
the
chance.
Just to name a few, Cleveland, the Buccaneers, Dolphins, Rams, Cardinals, Cowboys, Patriots, Bengals, Ravens. Seahawks, Redskins, and Ravens, with the Ravens probably being the highest likelihood. Does anyone pull the trigger on Brandon Marshall this offseason?
The Ravens might. Baltimore is a team that, like, they're so desperate for receivers that they're trying to convince Derek Mason to play another year, and he's like 37.
I could see T.O. landing in Baltimore, to be honest.
They've said that Baltimore's a potential landing spot, and Jim Harbaugh's actually talked to T.O. They've also said for T.O. another landing spot could be Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Poor
Carson
Ballmer.
There's not too many teams
Ballmer.
That are...
Can you imagine the Cincinnati locker room with Chad Ochocinco and T.O.?
Yeah, not to mention the 30 other convicts that they have on their roster.
And
you don't have room in there for
that. Pac-Man Jones was actually on the radar too for the
Cincinnati. Pac-Man had a tryout with Cincinnati, but apparently he showed up and was just horribly out of shape.
I think maybe Marvin Lewis watched the movie The Longest Yard a couple of too many times.
He must have.
You know what? Convict teams generally don't win.
Or Gridiron Gang.
Yeah.
I prefer Gridiron Gang with The Rock and Exhibit. Anyways.
So you guys both think Ravens? What other spots for Brandon Marshall could he go?
I mean,
I've heard that the Seahawks are actually one of the...
Well, it makes sense because, you know, and I wouldn't completely say no to it, but the Seahawks are one team that would have the firepower to do it with draft picks if they wanted, because we do have those two first round picks, and really, I know that they're asking for a first and a third or a first and a fourth or whatever, but if you sent over that number 14 pick, like, that could be good enough to get him out of Denver, frankly, but only via trade, like restricted free agent tender, I think, is a first and a third, and nobody's going to give that up to get him. But
I think Tampa Bay's in desperate need of a number one receiver too. They have a high pick in the draft also. So
yeah, and they've already said that they're not going to pursue Antonio Bryant. Yeah. So
I really think that the Dolphins are one of the teams to watch out for.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they really, really are in need of receivers. They had a couple of guys step up last year, but they don't have a number one guy there. They have about four or five number two or three guys there with, I mean, Camarillo and
Devon Bess. I don't think you're going to see Brandon Marshall go anywhere until Anquan Boldin moves.
Let's talk about Boldin.
Yeah, because Anquan Boldin's a guy who, you know, doesn't have any really of the... character concerns that you have with Brandon Marshall. He hasn't really, you know, the guy's been playing behind Larry Fitzgerald for so long, and he hasn't really complained about it. He's had some contract issues, but he's deserved to get paid, and he hasn't been, so.
But he does come in with some injury concerns. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. That's kind of the Achilles heel on him.
So, I mean, I don't think that they're going to ask for much more than maybe a second rounder for Anquan Boldin. I've heard that third rounder is probably what it's going to take to get Anquan Boldin. So, I mean, third rounds are very important picks for teams.
They are.
They love the third round.
The third round is a make-or-break round for a lot of teams because you can get some really good players there.
But we've heard this for the last three seasons, that Anquan Boldin's going to get traded in the offseason, and nothing's happened the last three seasons. They've kept him around.
Yeah, but I think now with Kurt Warner out of there, it's kind of a culture change in Arizona, because I think Ken Wisenhunt said that they want to get back to a bit more of a power run game, and they have the backs to do that. So I think this is the first real legitimate time people.
But you would think that with Matt Leinart probably being the starter next year, wouldn't you want to keep all the weapons around him as you can?
Yeah, but they've also got guys like Steve Breston and Jeremy Urban and that are still there and are good receivers. Early Doucette's there as well. Who've been playing well. Like, Steve Breston's a free agent as well, is he not?
Yeah.
I really think that they're going to really depend more heavily on the run game.
Yeah.
Wisenhunt is a coach who likes to run the football.
And they've got two good backs.
Well, one good back.
I wouldn't call Hightower a good back.
But, I mean, I think they're going to be concentrated more on the run game. I think in the draft they go with offensive linemen because they're going to want some more maulers up front.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Levi Brown there. But I really think they're going to be more of a running team, and obviously they're going to take a quarterback to give Leinart some competition, because Leinart is the only quarterback that they have on the roster right now.
Yeah, they're a team who might pick up a quarterback in the second round.
This would be a good segue to some of the free agents.
Yeah.
Because there's a few out there, a quarterback that might be on a possible move.
The quarterback market isn't really that.
It's not hot, too deep, yeah.
But let's talk running backs. I mean, we talked about the Chargers and their dismantling of their team. I mean, they're trying to trade everybody.
Yeah,
trying to trade Cromartie. I mean, Sean Merriman's on the block. Yeah, you got Jamal Williams, who's in danger of being cut after missing the last half of the year with injury.
And replaced with who?
Yeah, exactly. And then you got in the backfield. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson, one of the better running backs in NFL history, he got cut, and then they chose not to offer Darren Sproles a new contract. So, really, they have no returning running backs, but the two backs that they have leaving, Tomlinson and Sproles, both at different points in their career. Where do you see both of these guys ending up?
Well, it's tough to say. There's going to be still teams out there that want LT, and I think that he could maybe, I don't know, maybe Chicago. I kind of could see LT maybe landing in Chicago. Darren Sproles is a good third down back. He's not an every down back. I'm not too sure where I see him landing.
You know, there's been mentions of Philadelphia Eagles for Sproles, Washington Redskins for both Sproles and LT, and again, the Seattle Seahawks, who are in market for a running back. I really think that the Redskins will land one of these two guys. I say Sproles.
But I think Mike Shanahan's made it pretty clear that he's going to go with Clinton Portis.
Oh, Portis is going to be the number one.
Yeah.
But what about a team like Jacksonville?
Jacksonville could do. I mean, they really don't have a complimentary back.
No, they don't. And, Maurice Jones-Drew had a really good season last year, but he did get dinged up. And he's a guy that everybody's always been concerned about how he's going to hold up with getting that many carries every season. So they're a team that are just in need of players that are going to get people in the stands with their, some of their attendance issues. So that's kind of a dark horse, I think, in one of those races.
I think an interesting possibility for Darren Sproles is, again, the Miami Dolphins, because Ronnie Brown has had some injury problems throughout his entire career. You got Ricky Williams, who's going to be, 33 when the season starts? 34? Yeah. And, I mean, really nothing behind that. I mean, Lex Hillier did run pretty well, but they don't really have a change of pace back. And with the kind of offense that they run and the different sets, and they throw to the running backs quite a bit. Ricky Williams, he set a career high in receptions last year. I think Darren Sproles would be a perfect fit there in the AFC East against some teams like the Jets, who are more of a power offense. I'd like to see Sproles at a team that will give him the chance. But I think that regardless, he's going to be a third down back. I don't think anybody's going to sign him as the
He's not a feature back.
No.
That would just be
I don't see why that would be stupid. I mean, people continually say this, he's too small to be a feature back, too small to be a feature back. Barry Sanders was too small to be a feature back. MJD, before the draft started, he was too small to be a feature back. I mean, height doesn't matter. Sure, Darren Sproles isn't the widest guy. He doesn't have the legs of MJD and Barry Sanders. But this is a guy, I mean, he's never been injured. So why all these criticisms about being too small? He's never been injured, so he's never proven that he's too small to be a feature back. Nobody gives these guys a chance. Guys like, I mentioned the guys. If you don't give him a chance, how do you know that this guy can't be a feature back?
I don't think he's Barry Sanders, but I just don't think his running style would work as a three down back. Like, when you get down near the goal line, like, he's going to have to try and sneak through some of those offensive linemen. Again, like you said, he hasn't been given the chance, so we don't know. I'm going purely on spec of what I think would happen, but we've seen some of these scat backs in the last little while that haven't done as well. There's a lot of teams picking up guys that are considered more like power runners.
But, I mean, you look at Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
Does he run people over?
No, he doesn't.
He's a small guy. He doesn't take a whole lot of hits because he makes fast guys miss. And he makes guys miss. It's exactly like Darren Sproles, just Darren Sproles happens to be 3 inches shorter and about 35 pounds lighter. But I think it's highly overrated when people say that running backs are too small.
Well, I'll give you that, but I still don't think...
With a smaller guy, too, you don't see him running between the tackles very often at all either. Like,
no.
It'll be mostly sweeps and counters and stuff like that. But
we're going into a complete unknown with him because we've never seen him try to be that kind of back. His effectiveness is when he's catching screens out on the side or running to the outside. We haven't, like Ryan said, we haven't really seen him try to run consistently through the tackles.
Here's an interesting possibility that I'm gonna lay out for you, D-Stu.
Yeah.
Seahawks have absolutely no running backs.
Well, yeah, no.
None worthy of wearing an NFL uniform.
Well, Justin Forsett can be okay at times.
Here's what I propose for a team like that.
Yeah?
You go, they get Lendale White from the Titans.
Yeah.
And then you get Darren Sproles. Put those two guys together.
There was talk when the Saints were considering letting go of Reggie Bush. There was a lot of talk that Lendale White and Reggie Bush would be reunited with Pete Carroll in Seattle. So I definitely think Lendale White's the guy that they'll look at, because when was Lendale White the most effective? When he was in college playing for Pete Carroll.
I think Lendale White's got to get back on the Twinkies before he's an effective back.
That's true. Why? Who told him to lose weight? The guy was incredibly effective in Tennessee when he weighed about 25 pounds more. Then he loses weight and he can't do anything.
Yeah. He lost his goal line touches. He lost all the short yardage touches. Like,
yeah. Hey, so I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to commercial break or?
Do we want to talk about?
I don't even know if we're going to get to the AFC South today.
Well, do you guys want? We got to talk about. If we're going to talk about free agents, we got to talk about Julius Peppers.
Well, that's the thing is,
we
mean,
only have gone through the running back so far.
We've gone through like maybe four free agents, and there's about 100. So
we have a long time to talk about the AFC South the rest of this offseason.
Yeah, that is true.
So I think we should, you know, this is the stuff that people want to hear. You know, we're getting, you know,
all of our fans. Yeah,
all of our 780 five
kicks, 780-5425 if you want to call us.
I don't know how to work the phone. You can call in. We won't hear you. Actually, I think it's this blue thing in front of me.
Yeah, sure.
Actually, call in. We'll try it. Anyways.
All right. You know what? We'll go to commercial break in a bit. Let's keep talking about the offensive side of the ball. There's a few interesting names out there that have popped up. I mean, one that popped up today was Orlando Pace, as he got cut by the Chicago Bears today. He may be leaning towards retirement, so we're not sure. But he's one of the names. I mean, there's... Chris Samuels may be let go by the Washington Redskins, another guy who may retire, but left tackle is always a position of need in the NFL. Offensive linemen, where do you see these guys both retiring or what?
I think Pace will probably call it a day.
And the other guy, Pace's ex-teammate, Alex Barron, he may be on the trading block, so offensive linemen.
I think Pace will call it a day just because he, you know, the guy's 35 and he's pretty much had injury concerns his entire career. And he didn't play that well in Chicago last year.
I mean, Cutler was sacked 35 times and threw 27 picks, so.
And you know what? He's still going to command a little bit of money. And frankly, I think you're going to see a lot of teams will prefer, and we've seen it in the last couple of years, teams prefer building through the draft when it comes to offensive line, because we're seeing so many young left tackles, right tackles, and guards coming in and playing well right off the bat. So I think people will kind of weigh those options of whether or not to, you know, sign a guy like Orlando Pace or trade for a guy like Alex Barron, or whether or not to draft a younger guy at that position.
I'm interested to see what the Patriots are going to do with Stephen Neal and Logan Mankins. Like, those are two guys that have been there for a long time, and
I mean, you have to bring Mankins back.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Stephen Neal, there is reports that he might be leaning towards retirement, actually, too. So,
how old is he?
33, I think.
33, man.
So I'm really interested to see what happens there, because the Patriots have always been a team that they can draft linemen and bring these guys in eventually, and then...
You know, 33, that's... pretty good. Like, that's a pretty long career in the NFL, and I think we're a little bit jaded when you see guys like Walter Jones, who are 37 years old.
Yeah,
you know, they've been
playing. Kevin Mawai, who's
They've made
300.
They've made like 15 Pro Bowls. Like, it's just stupid. So I think we get a little bit jaded on that, and that's a lot of wear and tear on the knees on some pretty big guys. Yeah. So 33, you know, if he decides to retire, that may not be the worst idea.
Well, let me tell you, I'm 25. Yeah. I played lineman for almost my entire career, not the whole time.
There's a little fullback in there.
Did play fullback. I just want to mention that I did get an 80-yard touchdown one time, but
how did that happen?
Don't worry about it. Just speed and talent.
It must have been an icy day.
No,
everybody else fell down. Cole's taking baby steps to the end zone, kind of like Jamal Lewis.
But what I was saying, as an offensive lineman, I mean, I played for 14 years, probably 11 of those as a lineman on either offensive or defense. And, I mean, my body hurts right now, and I've had 2 years to rest since playing last. So
I must say, at least you didn't have two knee braces on both your legs. That's a usual stamp of an offensive lineman.
Yeah,
how many
double knee braces, and it's just awful. Yeah. Some of these guys, they finish football, they can't even walk. Yeah. Like, it's tough, so... Anyways, we got a little off track there, I think. Yeah,
it's okay. Why do we have to stay on track?
I don't know.
All right, so, well, let's move over to the defense.
I'm becoming drunk with power back here.
You want to go to commercial before we start on defense?
Yeah, why not?
Let's go to commercial. And then when we come back, we'll talk about some defensive free agents when we come back on the Big Balls Football Show.
Okay, so spring break is like totally about boys and bikinis and my tan. OMG.
Becky, I think you're missing the point.
At Gord Ski and Bike, spring break is all about getting outside and enjoying the best skiing and riding of the year. Grab the kids and head to Gord's for huge spring break savings. All outerwear in the store is 30 to 60% off. Save 50% on items like the North Face.
Wait, seriously? 50% off the North Face at Gord's?
Yes, sir. You've got till Sunday to get in and save. For the details, visit Gord's.com.
And now, the difference between a few drinks and being a dummy. This young lady has had a few drinks.
Hey, you're a really good dancer.
Thanks, so are you.
And now a few too many.
Check out these moves. I'm okay.
I'm I'm just going to go where it's less embarrassing.
So what's so great about drinking until you're a dummy? Seriously, be undrunk. And find out how you can win a MacBook, iPod, or iTunes gift card at beundrunk.com.
A message from the MLCC.
This is a nice apartment.
Thanks.
No way. You have a record player? And tons of vinyl.
Yeah.
The Superman soundtrack? Golden Girls? Sesame Street? Where did you get these?
The garage sale next door.
Oh.
Stuck with meh vinyl? At Into the Music, pick and choose from thousands of records, including new releases and your favorite classics. Personalize your record collection. Check us out at the corner of King and McDermott.
Funky, fashionable, or just plain understated? If you're looking for the best in eyewear, look no further than the Focal Point Optician on the University of Manitoba campus. Great-looking frames at great prices, great contact lenses too, eye exams available on-site, and an experienced staff focused on making sure your eyewear needs are taken care of. That's the Focal Point way. Make your way to 121 University Center Building at the U of M or call 474-7090.
That's nice.
That's a nice song. We're back on the Big Bells Football Show, where Ryan and I are definitely not looking at boobies on the computer in here.
What?
Why? Nothing.
Why would you say that?
No, I said we're not.
Oh, yep. Okay.
So sense. We're back on the Big Bells Football Show.
Yay.
And we are the Big Bells Football Show. I think we're allowed to look at boobies. We're on the radio. It's not like we're showing people boobies.
That's true.
That's true. Anywho,
all right.
The defense is out of the ball.
Yep, back to football. Defense, defensive free agents. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there. I'll start off with, the biggest name in all of free agency. Julius Peppers is probably going to command one of the biggest contracts, if not the biggest contract in NFL history. A guy who, I mean, he's put up double-digit sacks almost every year in Carolina. So, I mean, there's, I think, 6 to 8 teams is what John Clayton said about 6 to 8 teams are interested. Well, I'm sure 32 teams are interested, but 6 to 8 teams are showing serious interest in signing Julius Peppers. So of the teams that are involved, I mean, the Atlanta Falcons, the Bears, Giants, Browns, Chiefs, Packers, Patriots, and Eagles, of course, there's a bunch of 3-4 teams and 4-3 teams in there. Last year, he did say that he wanted to go to a 3-4 team to try his hand at outside linebacker, but at the age of 30, maybe a bit of a tough transition. Does he fit better as a 3-4 linebacker or a 4-3 defensive end?
4-3 defensive end, I would think.
Sorry, I was figuring out our next commercial break. What are you talking about?
Peppers.
Oh, Julius Peppers. Yeah, no, I don't know if anybody's going to really want to put him as like a 3-4 outside linebacker. But you never know because there's so many teams switching to the 3-4. But I think you'll probably see him end up with a team that's still going to be playing a 4-3. Granted, you never know what the Redskins will do. And the Redskins could throw a pile of money at him like they did with Albert Haynesworth and turn him into a 3-4 outside linebacker. And then they would have two players making a ton of money that don't play in a 3-4.
Yep. So what's the most likely destination, in your opinion, for Julius Peppers? Nothing really concrete has come over the wire yet, but...
Well, I'm going to have to go with a team that I'm very biased to say, New England Patriots. They need a defensive playmaker like this desperately. This was the reason why that they were not successful late last season. They couldn't get any pass rush whatsoever on any team's offense, and they need a guy like this to provide some rush to, like... Getting rid of Richard Seymour, to me, was the biggest mistake of last season for the Patriots. And they need a guy like Julius Peppers to come in. But I could also see him going to the Philadelphia Eagles, too, as another...
Did you just say that getting rid of Richard Seymour was a mistake?
Yeah, I think it was. He's a winner. He's one of the only guys...
I thought it was, too.
Really? You think that giving up a 30-plus-year-old defensive lineman...
Getting a second-round pick wasn't...
No, first-round pick.
Oh, my goodness.
And that will probably be in the top 10.
But, yeah, but...
You're getting a top 10 pick.
But he's the only guy who's had any sort of leadership on the defense, and once he left...
But that whole defense was in flux, though. Really, yeah. I mean, was the defense going to be...
There was a lot of moves that...
Was the defense going to be that much better with Richard Seymour there? I don't think so.
Well, they had nobody who's ever won before on that defense. Like, they got rid of Rabel and losing Harrison and...
Yeah. But, I mean, why not get rid of everybody at once so then then everybody kind of grows up together?
But I don't know.
I think you're crazy.
I think Philly's a a possible place he could end up. I think it's one of the more possible ones because Philly, they, you know, they had a good year last year, and they're a team that I have a feeling really think they're only maybe one piece away from winning the Super Bowl, or at least getting to another Super Bowl. And one of their biggest problems when they played Dallas is that they couldn't get a pass rush either. And they're going to have to play Dallas twice a year or twice again next year. So getting a guy like Peppers that can really get past that big offensive line would be helpful.
I think an interesting possibility, staying in the NFC, I mean, Julius Peppers, he's looking for a winner. He wants to get that Super Bowl ring as well as get paid.
Yeah.
But I think that the Green Bay Packers are a big possibility. I mean, they have on one side Clay Matthews, who's a breakout star last year as a rookie, but they're losing Aaron Kampman, who never wanted to be in the 3-4 in the first place. Maybe replacing him with a guy who's always wanted to be in a 3-4 in Julius Peppers.
That would make sense.
I mean, they're winners, but the only thing with the Green Bay Packers is that they over the past few seasons since Ted Thompson took over as the GM, they have not really signed any big ticket free agents for the last 3 or 4 seasons consecutively. Really, no big free agents. I mean, they've picked guys like Ryan Pickett and you know, guys like that who've, you know, been career backups. They built through the draft because they're one of the smaller market teams. I don't know if they have the money to sign a Julius Peppers.
And you know, it depends because Dom Capers may shy away from getting a guy like Peppers just because of the fact that they dealt with Aaron Kampman and the fact that Kampman had never played in a 3-4 already, and they just went through that. I don't know if he's going to want to have to go through that again trying to teach another all-star how to play a new position, which generally those guys aren't very good at trying to do.
Yeah.
So that may make Green Bay shy away, but they're another team who... The team that picks him up is going to be somebody who thinks that they have a legitimate shot to win the Super Bowl if they pick him up. And Green Bay is a team that I think could maybe do that, but it would surprise me.
So let's talk about the guy who I just mentioned, Aaron Kampman, a guy who, until this last year when they made the switch to the 3-4, as a 4-3 defensive end, this is a guy who consistently put up double-digit sacks. Still not very old. I think he's 29, 30. You know, still kind of in the prime of his career. But will almost definitely be going back to a team in the 4-3. I personally think he's going to stay in the NFC North and go either Chicago or Minnesota or hopefully Detroit. But
I think Minnesota, if they lose Ray Edwards, I think Minnesota would be a pretty logical place. I also think the Seahawks are somebody that could pick him up. Because you could see Seattle get rid of a guy like Patrick Kearney, who's had health concerns and is getting
he's
older.
Gone.
Yeah, so he's done. Aaron Kampman would be a good fit in there with them. He'd be a guy, he'd get his hand back in the dirt, which will make him happy. And, you know, with Pete Carroll, an offense or a defensive-minded coach, having a guy like that at defensive end would be pretty appealing to him, I think.
I think we all pretty much agree, though, that he's better off moving back to a 4-3 end.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, there's bound to be possibilities out there for Kampman because pass rushers are always at a premium in the NFL. Speaking of pass rushers, let's move back to the linebackers. A guy who's generating a lot of interest, but it seems to be down to two teams right now, is Carlos Dansby, a guy who the Cardinals they refused to to franchise him again. So he's going to be hitting the free agent market on Friday. The two teams that seem to be the most interested, of course, the top 8 teams in the NFL. There's with the whole uncapped year and all the rules with the no CBA, all the teams that made the divisional round can't pick up unrestricted free agents until they lose one. So really, teams in the final 8 won't be able to get a guy like Dansby, but two teams who do have the opportunity are the Miami Dolphins and the New York Giants. It seems to be a battle between these two teams. Which one do you think is more likely for Carlos Dansby?
I think the New York Giants. Dansby would fit in very nicely to this defense that struggled down the stretch last year. That defense looked terrible towards the end of the year. Like, they had, like, everyone who said that they were so great the year before, I think Dansby would fit in nicely with the New York Giants.
I'm going to go the other route. I'm going to say Miami. Bill Parcells loved linebackers. We've seen that in all of his years when he was with Dallas. We've even seen it now. He loves linebackers. That's what he likes to draft. And getting a guy like Carlos Dansby, if they can get the money out there to pick him up, I think they would really jump at that because their starting linebackers aren't that great, especially with the release of Joey Porter, if they can get rid of him. I know there's all the kind of cap stuff going on. But if they can finally release Joey Porter, I think Dansby's a guy they would love to grab. And I'm not sure if the Giants will be able to beat them to that. I think the Giants may end up waiting because they did make moves last year to pick up guys like Michael Boley. So
I'm going to have to agree with D-Stew on this one. I mean, I think he was a 4-3 linebacker when he first came into the NFL in Arizona, but they did undergo a change a couple of years ago under Clancy Pendergast where they're now a 3-4 team in Arizona. So I think he's more familiar with a 3-4 at this point in his career. And he has the utmost respect for Bill Parcells, as many people do. But he's gone public a few times saying how he'd like to play for a Bill Parcells-type team, things like that. So, I mean, I find it hard to believe that Dansby will go anywhere but Miami. And Miami does have the money once they do let go of Joey Porter, so and they're a playoff contender. So I see Dansby going to Miami and being a good fit there.
I think Elvis Dumervil would be a great fit in Miami because the Dolphins would love to have Mike Nolan reunited with Elvis Dumervil.
Yeah, but how are you going to get him out of Denver? Is he a free agent?
He's a CBA.
He's a restricted free agent.
He's restricted, okay. Well,
they'd have to give up a first and a third, but man. Really for a guy who puts up 16 sacks may not be the worst case scenario. The Dallas Cowboys gave up a first, third, and sixth for a wide receiver that has done nothing. So, crazier things have happened.
Yeah, it's going to be, the free agency, especially on defense, is going to be a tough time for Arizona because they just lost, what's his name? Roll?
Antro Roll.
Yep. Antro Roll. I was going to say Antoine. Not quite. Close, but close. Not quite. Anyways, they've said that they're going to release him, and then losing Carlos Dansby, like, that's two pretty big pieces on their defense.
Yeah.
That's going to be back to the Arizona Cardinals of old.
And my Seahawks will once again reclaim their spot atop the NFC West.
Well, let's talk about the DBs. You mentioned Antrell Roll, a guy who, instantly became the top safety on the market just because of his age. Like, Darren Sharper is the top safety, but not long term. I mean, he's a guy who could come in for a year or two, make some plays, and then probably retire. But Antrell Roll, he's only been in the league for 5 years, I think, so he's 26, 27, but will be the top safety in the market. I mean, there's a bunch of teams that have been interested in him, but the Bears are seem to be the front runner at this point. Other teams that have been mentioned, the Vikings, the Chiefs, Buccaneers, Eagles, and Dolphins again. Antrell Roll, where does he fit?
Definitely the Chiefs, I think, because they're still kicking themselves for letting go Bernard Pollard. So they could really use some help at safety. They've got two good young corners, but you got to have somebody back there. And I think he could be a good fit with Kansas City. They're a team that's trying to build a little bit. They showed some promise at points last year, but I think he'd be a good fit in Kansas City.
So would a team like New Orleans would have to lose somebody before that they, like, if I could, right? If they, yeah. Because,
so
like,
that free agent would have to already sign with another team before they're allowed to sign.
Like, because New Orleans is going to be looking for a safety, but who knows, they'll probably maybe go with a safety in the draft, but I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know where he's going to land.
I think New Orleans would probably rather wait and get a guy like Chad Jones in the draft, but that's just me.
I personally think, let's get on to Darren Sharper, because D-Stew, you took my destination. I think the Chiefs would be a great fit. The Bears would be a great fit for Antrell Roll, too, but I like the Chiefs' situation a little more for him, just because there's more stability there with the front office and coaching staff, having probably at least 2 years where Chicago, Lovey Smith could potentially be out after this year, I'd say. Will be out after this year, so lots of unrest in Chicago. But let's move on to the guy that we mentioned, Darren Sharper, a guy who was a defensive MVP candidate for the Super Bowl champions. There's lots of teams being mentioned for Darren Sharper. Again, the Giants, again, the Chiefs, again, Dolphins, Eagles, and Bears. And then the Saints are another opportunity for him where he loved his time in New Orleans. I personally think that he's not going anywhere. I think Darren Sharper ends up re-signing in New Orleans, but
I agree. Like, he hasn't showed signs of slowing down at all. Like, if he hasn't, in Minnesota, he was a very big playmaker for the Vikings, and New Orleans, same thing. Like, he doesn't show that he's slowing down at all.
The only thing I would be kind of worried about is that he's a little upset that they haven't already extended him at least another one-year contract or haven't really gone after him as much as he thought they would, because he was really the centerpiece of their defense through almost all of this year. So he maybe some hurt feelings on his part. But, yeah, I think there is a pretty good chance he's going to stay in New Orleans. Why would they let him leave?
And you know what? I think, to tell you the truth, I think Sharper is a better fit in Kansas City than Antrell Roll is. Because Kansas City, what's that defense really lacking? And it's leadership. I mean, they did get Vrabel last year, but who knows where he's going to be at when this season comes around.
Yeah, Vrabel doesn't even want to be there.
I mean, I think that they're desperately lacking leadership and playmaking ability, which Darren Sharper brings both to the table. And that defense could become a top, I'm not going to say a top defense, but they could be in the top half of the league with a guy like Darren Sharper, a couple other draft picks, and maybe some more free agents. So, I mean, I see him going there. Let's move on to some of the other guys who are in the secondary. I mean, there's a bunch of guys out there, but I don't know. Do you want to keep talking? Let's just talk about some other stuff for the last 8 minutes.
Okay.
What do you think?
What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about a little? Like, I think the DBs are tomorrow in the combine.
Yeah,
talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we could. Who are you looking forward to in the?
Well, obviously Eric Berry, because he's a guy I think could go to Seattle. But Earl Campbell apparently just tore it up when he came to the bench, and some of the other, and he's weighing in fairly well, and they're saying that he's just going to rip up the 40 tomorrow. So, like, you look at some of the athletes that we have running that tomorrow. Eric Berry, Chad Jones, Taylor Mays.
I mean, you just mentioned the guy who I was going to see, Taylor Mays.
Yeah.
This guy, he can make an awful lot of money tomorrow, which I think that he'll be the superstar of the NFL Combine this year, because, I mean, he's been reported to run the 40 and the 4.3s. He's been reported to put up over 25 bench reps in the bench press. I mean,
You've seen the YouTube videos of...
he'll have probably the highest vertical and broad jump that the Combine has ever seen. So,
for,
I mean,
safety, yeah.
I think he works his way back in the first round tomorrow.
I agree.
I think he does. One of the guys that they're actually really... concerned about is Joe Hayden, because there's reports that he's not going to even run sub 4.5, and if you can't run under 4.5, you're not going in the top 10, I would think, as a corner, just because, you know, you're matching up against guys, you know, depending on where you end up, you could be matching up against guys like Steve Smith or Andre Johnson or some of these guys who can run pretty good. So Joe Hayden's going to have a pretty big day with that 40 tomorrow. And that's the make or break for DBs. You just want to see how they run the 40, and then you want to see them in a few of the on-field drills to see how good they are at flipping their hips and moving around the field. So
I think the other corner to really look forward to is Kyle Wilson from Boise State, a guy who, I mean, wasn't talked about too much until after the season when he came to the scouting combine with his big painted RV that was shown all over NFL Network for a few days. So a guy who maybe just on publicity alone worked his way into the latter portions of the first round. But a guy, I mean, he's quick. He's got lots of, you know, he's got the quick twitch muscles that you really look for in a cornerback, and he's strong. I mean, he reminds me a lot of, you know, a Rondae Barber, Antoine Winfield in run support, where this guy, he does not shy away from contact, to say the least. And I think that if he runs a sub 4.5 40, I think he could work his way and solidify himself at the bottom portion of the first round.
Yeah, and you know, Eric Berry, who's my personal favorite guy, like, he's someone who has actually been dropping a little bit lately, especially because Earl Campbell's been making up some ground on him, and Earl Campbell isn't projected to go until the mid-first round or later. So Eric Berry's been dropping down kind of into that territory with a lot of mock drafts recently. So I think if he can get out there and run a good 40 and do well in some of the on-field positional drills, he's a guy who could probably shoot himself back up into that, you know, top 10, top 6 kind of range. And that's important for him. Otherwise, you know, you lose out on a lot of money if you end up out of that top 10.
And then, of course, there's one of the most intriguing prospects that there's been in the NFL draft in the last couple of years, Myron Roll.
Yeah.
A guy who, he was out of football last year, not because of injury or off-field concerns, but a guy who, because he was at Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar, a Rhodes Scholar, he's one of the smartest guys to ever be in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this guy, he's got tons of talent. The guy's shredded. He weighs, 225? He's a big, big dude. And I think if he runs, if he really impresses people with his physical skills,
yeah.
I mean, he's already reported to be really impressive in all of his interviews. So,
well, you would expect so.
Yeah,
the guy's a Rhodes Scholar. Like he's probably pretty well spoken, and actually he apparently lifted the second most in the bench. After Taylor Mays. So it's interesting though, because it's a guy who is actually being torn down a bit by people in the NFL for the fact that he chose to pursue school for at least an extra year.
Yeah,
the guy chose to go be a Rhodes Scholar. You can't penalize him for that, and he's still showing that he's got everything he had when he was at Florida State.
I mean, you look at what he did in the Senior Bowl. Had a very good week there at the Senior Bowl. So I mean, I think, but the opinions on him vary greatly. I mean, some teams are looking at him as a second rounder, where some teams aren't even, sixth, seventh round. So where do you see Myron Roll ending up?
I would say probably the second round. Like, he's not going to go before Eric Berry or Earl Campbell, I would think, just because he hasn't played football for a year. And then he could kind of be in that same territory as maybe a guy like Chad Jones. But I think probably second, maybe third round for him.
I'm thinking third or fourth. I'd say third is where I'd take him. But I'd probably take him a little earlier. But there's a lot of guys that I'd take early. That
he's the kind of guy that you could probably wait on until the third round.
Yep.
And then like we said, third round's a big round. That could be a pretty big steal, especially because this year the change in format in the draft. The first round is on the Thursday, and then the second and third round are on the Friday, and then the fourth until the seventh round.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. What do you guys think of the change?
I'm not crazy about it. I like just the two days.
Yeah.
Then I got to book 3 days off work.
Exactly. Yeah. I was upset when they.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's messing up with my schedule.
And I mean, it's going to be totally different now. I mean, I liked it where I'd wake up, spend all day Saturday looking at it. I mean, it's
order little Caesars.
Yeah. Order my little Caesars. Cole just
goes and gets like six hot and readies.
I love those pizzas. Thank you, little Caesars, again.
Yes.
Thank you for making me the man that I am.
Oh, yes.
All 210 pounds of me.
Yeah. You're on the radio, Cole. You can lower your weight significantly when you're on the radio.
Did you hear me realize that midway through my sentence?
Yes, I did.
All right. So that's going to be it for the Big Balls Football Show tonight. It was an exciting one.
Yep. Yes, it was.
We talked about lots of fun stuff.
I didn't screw up much.
Not too much. Well, the show isn't over yet, though.
Uh-oh.
All right. So for D-Stew, Ryan the quarterback Coldest, I'm Cole the Coltrane Schapansky. Join us next week at 7 o'clock on the Big Balls Football Show.